74. The smaller ones swung in wide arcs, swooping around and approaching the crater from either direction. Their monstrous leader soared overhead, blotting out the sun. Its wings beat in wide arcs that covered hundreds of yards. The tentacles curled and stretched in the air, and its arms hung low, claws dragging behind it. Its thoughts hit them just before the wave of air roaring ahead of it.
Hungry. So hungry, food, prey, hunt my prey, all my food.
Wind and coarse sand tore at them. Nate felt it slice tiny cuts in his arms and cheeks and fingers and eyelids. He wrapped his arms around Veek and she grabbed back, pressing her face into his chest. Sand piled up in the wrinkles of his clothes, enough that he could feel the weight of it. It slipped into his shirt and shoes and pants. The wind was burying them.
My food, my world, my hunger, my kettle, mine, my food.
One stroke of the massive wings carried the alpha squale past them into the pit. Nate felt it go. The cavemen howled in fear, the guard things howled in joy. The sounds didn't go well together. He risked opening his eyes. Roger was curled up in a ball with his arms crossed over his face. The wind had dumped two or three buckets worth of sand on him. Tim had his hands pressed over his eyes and mouth. His legs were buried and one of his knees poked up through the sand. Veek's arms loosened around him and she raised her head. Her nose was bleeding again, and her ears. They all glanced at each other. There were lines of dark mud on Roger's cheeks and lips where blood had mixed with the sand. Clots of sand and blood clumped under Tim's ears. Nate wiped the sticky mud from his own face. They scrambled up to the top of the ridge. The great squale reached the army of slaves and overseers. It soared over them like a bird passing over a pond stocked with fish. Tentacles snatched a baker's dozen of figures and they vanished up into the twisting mass of its face. Even this far off, Nate was pretty sure two of them were guards. The squale wasn't that discriminating. One of the smaller squales pulled its wings close, went into a power dive, and grabbed three cavemen with its tentacles. Its wings spread for a moment to level it off. Without losing speed, it shot past Oscar's remains and through the tall archway. They glimpsed it racing along the covered walkway and then it vanished inside the dome. Another small one soared down toward the tall arch. As it flew by, it reached down a rope of muscle and snagged what was left of Oscar, almost as an afterthought. It disappeared into the dome. The huge Alpha reared up in the air like a whale breaching the surface of the water and then soared back down. The air thrummed against its wings like a huge sail, its tentacles flexed before it. Nate fumbled with the binoculars. The guards threw their arms open like happy children. Most of the Neanderthals cowered in terror. A few fled. The tentacles lashed out and grabbed even more of them. It looked to Nate like dozens of people were swept up by the curling limbs. He noticed the squale grabbed the runners first. He wondered if it was a dinosaur thing, that it could only see them when they moved.
"It likes it," Veek whispered. "It likes it when they try to run."
The great squale beat at the air and the slaves and guards were scattered by the downblast. They tumbled and fell. Nate didn't have the binoculars up, but it looked like some of them were buried beneath tidal waves of sand thrown up by the hurricane winds. The creature flew upward, circling the tower as it went. It reached the top, and its wings beat three or four times. The alpha beast hovered above the tower for a moment, and the air roiled through the pit as it did. Its gnarled limbs unfolded, and the talons spread wide. There were five of them, three at the front, and two to the back. Each finger was 40 feet, Nate guessed, without the claw at the tip. The squale reached down with a set of talons and grabbed one of the bars of the jewelry setting. Then the second set took hold. It pounded the sky one more time with its wings and then settled its bulk between the prongs. Its tail reached down and wrapped around the tower two or three times.
"Jesus," muttered Tim.
Its wings settled against its body for a moment, then stretched up and out. Their shadow put half the crater floor in darkness. The tentacles opened up like a great green flower. Two amber eyes, each one the size of a swimming pool, gazed down at the milling crowds below. The creature's thoughts hammered into their minds.
My servants, my mortals, worship, beg, plead, pray, 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 pray to me, food, my servants, my cattle.
The figures below scurried and scuttled. Some threw themselves to their knees, others leaned back and opened their arms to the thing on the tower. Howls and cheers and cries rose up to the four people on the ridge and to the great squail.
My world, my hunger, food, pray, pray for me. My servants, new world, new food, new prey, mine, my new world.
More cheers rose up from the crowd. Roger closed his eyes. Shit, he said. He closed his eyes. Trails of blood were washing the sand from his face.
Can't take much more of that.
It knows, said Tim. His nose gushed blood and his skin paled. The damn thing knows about the machine being turned off. It knows it can get through. This is the last big farewell meeting before they cross over.
How?
Said Roger.
How's it know?
Because it's what these things live for, said Vic. It's a predator, remember? It wants to move on and start hunting again.
Not to argue, said Tim, but it wants more than that. He threw a tight gesture at the mob below. These things don't just want to eat. They want us praying and cheering to them. They want to be worshipped. They all looked down at the crowd. The Neanderthals and the three-armed creatures were hollering and waving.
They want our souls, said Vic.
My cattle.
Nate glanced up from the binoculars and found himself staring into the amber pools. They were focused on him, and he felt the awful weight of a trillion years. On one level, he knew they were miles away, that the monster was perched on its tower like some monstrous tentacled vulture. But he also knew how close it was, that for this creature, seeing a place and being there were one and the same. It saw into his mind. He slipped and fell past the tentacles into the great squail's eyes, tumbling down into their endless depths. Nate felt dream hunger smothering him, the vague sensation that there may have once been a time before this, a time when there was no hunger, but it was impossible to remember. The hunger was all there ever had been, all there ever was, and all there ever would be. It just went on and 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 Nate! Vic slapped him hard across the jaw. He was back on the ridge with the three of them. The sand was darker and had a red tint to it. He blinked and made a point of not looking up. He could feel the weight of the great squail's gaze on him from miles away.
You guys just froze up, she said.
Tim had his hand over Roger's eyes and was dragging him down the slope. A shiny stain spread down one of Roger's thighs. Tim glanced back up at Nate.
Are you okay?
I think so, he said.
His own crotch felt cold and clammy.
I think I wet my pants.
You did?
Nodded Vic. Her face was redder, too, as if she'd been breathing hard. Her shirt had turned pink. The images, ideas of hunger still lurked in his mind like the red spot after staring at a bright light. He shook his head to clear them away.
How long was I?
5 minutes, I think, she said.
She squeezed his arm.
Thought I lost you there, Shaggy.
He shook his head again. I think we need to get away from here.
No thinking needed, said Roger. Let's go.
He sounded like he had a hangover. Both of his eyes were bloodshot with large red blobs floating in them like extra irises. Nate blinked and understood why everything he could see had a red tint now.
Agreed, said Tim. We need to get the machine running again.
He helped Roger up and the two of them took a few steps toward the bikes. Vic and Nate turned to slide down the ridge when the hammer hit their minds.
My cattle, my new prey there, my servants there.
Shit,
said Roger, a fresh stream of blood raced from his nose.
Did you say what I think it did?
Nate and Vic looked down into the pit. As one, the crowd of Neanderthals and monstrous overseers turned and looked straight at them. A roar came from the crowd. It could have been anger, or joy, or even a cheer. Maybe they were welcoming them to the neighborhood, welcoming them to the family. But Nate knew it was something else. It was a hungry roar.